Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Canadians are heading to the polls next Monday, just 2 years after the last federal election, as Prime Minister and Liberal leader Justin Trudeau called a snap election last month and hopes to regain a majority in the House of Commons. Support between the Liberal and Conservative parties have been neck and neck, with Justin Trudeau holding a narrow lead over Conservative leader Erin O'Toole, 3 days out from Election Day. Daniel Bayland is a professor of political science at McGill University in Montreal, and Justin Wong spoke to him earlier in the week.
What has happened since the last election? Well, a lot of things. So the last elections were in October 2019. And so since then, we've seen, of course, the pandemic. In 2019, the Liberals returned to power with a minority government. Before that, between 2015 and 2019, they had a majority government. So they lost their majority in 2019. And not that long after the Liberals returned to power, but with a minority government, the pandemic hit Canada. And it was actually a pretty strong first wave in some parts of the country, like in here in Quebec. And now we're at the fourth wave of the pandemic. The federal government reacted to the pandemic with a very strong stimulus, socioeconomic stimulus in the spring of 2020. And then the Liberals enacted more measures and also pushed forward an agenda in terms of social policy expansion. The Liberals are really in Canada a left of center party. It's center left, but still they have moved further to the left since Justin Trudeau became the leader back in 2013. And it's a party that has a broad social policy agenda over issues like kindergartens, for example. And so the Liberals have pushed forward in their last budget a few months ago major social policy initiatives. And this campaign is in part about whether voters will actually support that agenda or not.
Right. So obviously COVID and how the federal government, federal response will be a large issue on this election. What else could there in play?
I think that we have in Canada an ongoing debate about climate change and whether Canada is doing enough to reduce carbon emissions. We have a debate on reconciliation, what we call reconciliation. So in terms of relationship between the Crown, so the federal government and Indigenous peoples, that's also a major issue. There is the debate over healthcare funding and whether the federal government should increase healthcare transfers, fiscal transfers to the provinces. There's also, as I mentioned earlier, a debate on childcare and to have the federal government really sending more money to the provinces so that they can develop subsidized childcare systems similar to what has existed in Quebec since the late 1990s. So cheaper, subsidized childcare. The Liberals support that approach. The Conservatives don't. They just want to create tax credits for childcare, tax credits for low-income people, but are not in favor of this massive expansion of the role of the federal government in childcare funding.
Right. But Justin Trudeau called this election more than 2 years ahead of the next scheduled one. Is this a wise move, especially during a pandemic?
Well, you know, the wisdom of this decision to call elections in the middle of the pandemic has been called into question since the beginning of the campaign by opposition leaders, but also by many commentators and, frankly, by many members of the public. I mean, it's not just the pandemic per se. It's that, you know, we had elections less than 2 years ago. The minority parliament was working relatively well. The liberals were able to get a lot of things done in collaboration with opposition parties. And so many people saw this decision on the part of the prime minister as a cynical move to just get a majority. And using the fact that the liberals, the liberal government delivered on vaccine procurement, because now Canada has quite high vaccination rates, and some of the highest in the world. And so I wanted to surf on that wave and use that the fact that people were quite happy with this development to get a majority. And it was a tough ride during the first 2 weeks of the campaign. The Liberals actually struggled, in part because of, you know, the campaign really began on the day Kabul fell. And a lot of people in Canada were asking questions about the evacuation of Canadians and also Afghani interpreters from Kabul, and the slow response of the federal government here. And so the Trudeau government was criticized over the humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan. And that diverted attention away from the campaign and some of the promises that Trudeau was making. Also, the Liberals were slow in introducing their party platform, their electoral platform, and they faced questions about the timing of the election. So It was tough for the first few weeks of the campaign, but since then, the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, has used the issue of pandemic, especially as confronted anti-vax protesters and COVID skeptics on the campaign trail, and has also painted his main rival, Erin O'Toole, the leader of the Conservative Party, as someone who's too soft on vaccination and too soft on anti-vaxxers.
Okay, I'm glad you brought on Erin O'Toole, because I have some questions about him later, but particularly around the world for the past 2 years, elections in places like Western Australia, Queensland, and here in New Zealand, returned governments that have more success in containing their COVID-19 within their boundaries. Do you think that Canada will follow this trend or buck it?
Well, it depends. If you look at the provincial level, we have mixed signals. We have had five provincial elections since the beginning of the pandemic. All the provincial governments that trigger an election or that face the electorates, they return to power, except one, which is in Nova Scotia. And in Nova Scotia, the election actually, the election day was August 17th. The Liberals, which had done a really good job in terms of fighting the pandemic. Nova Scotia is one of the provinces that had done the best job in terms of containing the pandemic. They actually lost power, even if they were way ahead in the polls at the beginning of the campaign. And what happened is that the progressive conservatives, the opposition, they really campaign on improving the healthcare system, while the Liberals, they didn't articulate a very clear vision for the future. And they really want, in a way, they were asking people to re-elect them because they had done such a good job during the pandemic. But that was not enough for voters. So that's a cautionary tale, I think, for the Liberals. Because although people are quite happy with the way they delivered on vaccine procurement, that's not enough. And you need to actually put forward a platform and ideas that people want and a vision of the future, not just look in the rearview mirror and see, hey, look how well we did, or look at what we've done for you during the pandemic in terms of sending checks to people and avoiding an economic freefall and procuring vaccines to provinces and territories. So the issue is about the vision. And the Liberals, I think, struggled during the first couple of weeks of the campaign to articulate a vision. But what they have done since then is move on the attack, and they are on the attack mode. And they are much more forceful, and they are, again, very critical of Erin O'Toole, the Conservatives, on vaccination, on other issues like abortion, on gun control, on the environment, and so forth.
Justin Trudeau also, since the last election, even saying the party is worried of climate change, but still approved the Trans Mountain pipeline. Do you think this will have an effect on Liberal support in the prairie provinces, particularly Alberta, Saskatchewan, the ones that produce the most oil and gas?
Yeah, so what's happening out west? Oil prices are higher now, so I think it's it's a bit better economically for these provinces. But there is, you know, the buying this, the Trans Mountain pipeline, is something that occurred before the last federal election. So in a way, people already had the chance to, you know, express themselves and perhaps punish the Liberals about it or reward them about this. But last time around, you know, the Conservatives lost all the few seats that they had in Saskatchewan and in Alberta, the two largest oil producers in the country, even if they had bought the Trans Mountain pipeline. So that didn't help them, really. And I'm really not sure that, you know, right now there is a debate about climate change. But the issue of pipelines per se is not really a central aspect of the campaign right now.
Now, I want to talk about the Conservatives. Last time the Conservatives went into the election with Andrew Scheer, who is more conservative, but he resigned since. And now they are led by Erin O'Toole. So who is he?
Yes. So Erin O'Toole is from Ontario. You know, in Canada, we use this expression, red Tory. So he's more of a red Tory. That is a kind of progressive conservative or moderate centrist conservative. So he's pro-life in terms of abortion. So he supports a woman's right to choose in terms of abortion. The conservatives under his leadership have developed a more serious platform on climate change that was the case before under Andrew Scheer and before that under Stephen Harper. So he's a more moderate, and he depicts himself as a moderate, as a centrist. But the problem in terms of optics is that a lot of the conservative candidates, especially out west, are more right-wingers, you know, and true right-wingers. And also, when he ran for party leadership, Erin O'Toole depicted himself as a true blue, that is a true conservative, not as a moderate, a centrist. But now he's doing the opposite. I think he's more of a centrist. Many people, you know, will perceive him more as a centrist, but because of the things he said to become a leader, where on gun control and so forth, he's perceived as, you know, someone who on that issue has flip-flop in a way, and someone who might not be always in sync with what many members of his party, including some conservative MPs or former MPs, actually think. And the Liberals have been always, you know, using this and say, well, you say something on abortion, but many of your candidates are pro-life, not pro-choice. What will happen if you become prime minister and they are in your caucus? You know, these have been questions asked by the Liberals, but also by the NDP and the Bloc Québécois.
Could that see the Conservatives lose their more right-wing support to a more conservative party?
Well, so in terms of on the right of the Conservative Party of Canada is the People's Party, which is a far-right party, a party that only got 1.6% of the votes back in 2019. We are in a first-past-the-post system, so we didn't reform our electoral system like you did several decades ago in New Zealand. So we still have a British-style system. And so in that system, more marginal parties like this struggle to get seats. But this time around, the People's Party is polling at like 6, 5, 6, 7% right now. In some parts of the country, higher than that, even 10% in Alberta and so forth. So that might be a threat for the Conservatives to divide the voters on the right of the political spectrum. Because the People's Party has become really the party of people who are COVID skeptics or anti-mask crowd, or even the anti-vax crowd. And so Maxime Bernier, their leader, has really emphasized the importance of personal freedom. And instead of focusing on immigration, which is normally what far-right parties do, he has focused on personal freedom in the context of the pandemic.
well, Liberal support is kind of falling. Does that mean the NDP, the New Democratic Party, will have more power on deciding who will be in government again?
No, not necessarily. I mean, the Liberals fell in the polls during the first 2 weeks of the campaign, but they have recovered now. And it's really neck and neck with the Conservatives. And I think in terms of seat projections, the Liberals seem to have the upper hand. It doesn't mean they will win, but looking at polling data, they are ahead in terms of potential seats they could gain. The NDP is doing okay, but not great. And I think that the fact that people on the left started to be afraid of having a Conservative government because the Conservatives improve in the polls, that may actually have been may have convinced some of them to vote Liberals to avoid a Conservative government altogether. So I'm not sure how many seats the NDP will get. They are, you know, quite weak in Quebec now. They used to have a lot of seats, but they lost them in 2015 and 2019, except one. They have hopes to pick up seats in British Columbia and in Southern Ontario. But we'll see if at the last minute people on the left decide to switch towards the Liberals just because they want to make sure that the Conservatives don't win, which is something that has happened in the past for the NDP facing because the Liberals have borrowed quite a few of the social democratic ideas of the NDP, including on childcare. And so they have really moved, the Liberal Party has moved towards the left under Trudeau in part to, in a way, squeeze the NDP out or steal some voters from them. And he was very successful in 2015, less successful in 2019 with this. But we'll see what happens next week.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.